Okay.
Thank you.
What I'm going to talk a little about is some work I've been doing recently with the UK MOD, with some of the senior staff at Beckett House on leadership. And I've used the term wargaming wicked problems because that was a central feature of some of the things that we've been looking at. And I've been using a wargame to help people develop a number of leadership skills. What I was asked to look at was something that would let senior leaders on the MOD's Senior Leadership Development Program to practice partnership working between agencies and introducing the concept of wiki problems. I'll speak a little bit more about that in a second. The issue was that this was also with senior leaders. This was a mixed group of civil servants, military, and others from national security agencies. And the issue underpinning a lot of the work they were doing was partnership working and looking at their need to be to review and take advantage of some mentoring around their leadership style. So it was quite an interesting challenge because this group, as well as being senior, were also scarily intelligent people, a bit like here really, and quite an intimidating bunch. Not people who would naturally be found pushing toy soldiers around or getting out a board game. So this wasn't necessarily a audience already primed for gaming or for wargaming. What we were trying to draw out of the exercise, however, was stuff on player behaviours, and we've seen already today how in various environments games generate an insight into how people behave and how those patterns of behaviour affect what they're doing in a very real way. So the idea was that this was, as to use the term you do, a safe space in which people were able to make decisions, were able to approach problems, and not necessarily in a judgmental way, but it enabled the other members of the training team at Trivenham to have a lever for mentoring with senior leaders and a way of starting a conversation. And they, up until this point, this is part of a larger, much larger course. Up until this point, they'd largely been spoken at. So the other key part was the participatory nature of it. They had to take part and play something. Although we didn't use the word play. Wicked problems are quite an interesting idea. And in fact, the more I looked into this, the more I saw how much wargaming and games in particular are very much drawn to the wicked problem. There's a whole mass literature on this. However, games give you the opportunity to create things which don't have an answer. And I was very pleased to see conversations about, well, there is no directing staff solution to this. There isn't an answer. And in fact, in the examples of wicked problems are things where not only do you not have an answer, you don't really know what the problem is. And you don't even start to understand the problem until you start to reach for answers. And there are lots and lots of examples of this. One of the examples used by Peter Grint, who's one of the academics who've been teaching this, was the Cuban Missile Crisis. And looking at the position of the US government at the time of, we really have no idea what we're doing here. We can't get the book out, we can't go to a military historian and say, well, what did we do last time? We have no idea. So the idea was to create something that would give these the people on this course an opportunity to explore wicked problems. So the solution that I came up with was to use it, develop a game I developed previously in an educational context called Crisis in Binny, which is a game about primarily around the chaos that arises during a humanitarian crisis. And I'm particularly struck by having seen my image of the game Matt and the Countess, a terrible burst of deja vu from a few moments ago of a coloured map with counters on it. Just goes to show that a good answer is always a good answer. The game, which as I say was originally developed for education, is specifically designed to be chaotic. So the original idea was that there is this fictional country of Bini. The participants have incomplete information at pretty much every stage. There is no winning end point to the game. In fact, every time we've run it, it ends badly. And the complex, you know, there's a complexity inherent into it. And I'll just talk a little bit about how we structured it for this particular course, and I will be talking a little bit about how they took to it. So the way we ran it for this course was to start off with a UN Security Council session. That was a fairly straightforward committee game. So the members of the course were divided up into various members of the UN Security Council. They were given a very brief description of how to write a Security Council resolution, which is a torturous and painful process at the best of times. So we simplified it to merely torturous. And they were given a broad idea that something was going on in this country of Bini. People were starving, there were refugees, it was all terrible, something must be done. And then you have a session where, given different perspectives from different members of the UN Security Council, which is in their briefs, for example, the Chinese delegation really didn't see the UN should be intervening in the internal matters of this country, and the fact that it had a terrible human rights record wasn't that important to maybe the British delegation, who were saying, well, you know, really, we should be helping them, they're a bit evil. But the point was they had to come up with something. They came up with something which was a complex resolution which pretty much pleased everybody and achieved little. What they didn't realise at that point was they were going to have to implement the resolution that they'd come up with, and that was the next two parts. And so the next morning, directing staff said, you know that fun time you had yesterday evening where you came up with your terribly clever UN resolution? Well, now you've got to do it. To their credit, they went, okay, do what we can. We changed the roles around a bit and broke the players up into a number of key roles, and this was probably quite important. We had some players playing UN military, of various contingents, some players playing a UN committee of various nationalities, a player playing the blood-soaked dictator of Bini, and a number of players playing the regional militia commanders of Bini. So in effect, it came out as a five-sided game, which might not remain five-sided and is therefore inherently chaotic. So the regional militia commanders owe technical allegiance to the president, but actually really were looking out for their own tribal interests. Into that, the UN, who previously had no information about this complex internal arrangement, was sending UNHCR players and World Food Programme players who turn up in country and then realise this is really, really complicated. And so the first part was the UN in another room representing New York attempting to come up with more detailed rules of engagement than they previously thought they would need, subject to the limits put in the resolution. Military players planning how to move troops into Bini, and the poor old UNHCR and World Food Programme in the next room coming backwards and forwards going, no, it's really not like that, it's terrible. And so it went on, and at the same time we were running a game in Bini of the warlords and the dictator. And then in the afternoon it went on to actually playing it out on the map. very, very, very simple rules, because this had to move reasonably quickly. The players having to change their rules of engagement as they went, having to devise tactics as they went, having to change priorities as they went, and in the same time negotiating with live actors on the ground. So the tribal militias and the dictator, were all real people who were standing there saying, no, we need the aid. No, bring it over here. Look, starving people. Not over there. They're not starving. And that changed. So it became less a problem-solving, tame problem in the parlance, but much more complex, that you had to face down people who were demanding something from you. And then there was a debrief and a time for reflection. How did it play out? I said a little bit about it, but there were interesting reactions from both the military and the civil staff involved. A couple of things I felt were relatively unexpected. There's a broader policy movement in defence around engagement, good communication, partnership working and so on. And this highlighted some of the difficulties. It was deliberately designed to be very, very difficult to operate in good collaboration, in good partnership. But what it brought up for the participants was what they might be able to do about that and to practice the management of information and the management of their relations with others in a way which they couldn't do in their day jobs. And in fact, it was very difficult to simulate any other way in a training environment. And whilst they were in the game, they weren't really thinking about it. But the advantage of this course was that there were organisational psychologists present who were able to feed in their responses into later mentoring sessions and personal development sessions. So they gained some of that valuable insight in being drawn into the game. And that is that. I'm happy to give you far more anecdotes over games and sessions later, but that's my experience, recent experience of working with the UK MOD. Thank you.